You're listening to Clock Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Clock Radio Speakers. I am your co-host, Armand Wake Up. You can follow me on all social media at Armand Wake Up, A-R-M-O-N-D, Wake Up, all one word. More important than that, please, please, please follow the official Clock Radio Speakers Twitter handle, which is at CRS Podcast. All previous episodes of Clock Radio Speakers are on clockradiospeakers.com. We are on Instagram. We're on Facebook. We're in the streets. We're in your homes. We are everywhere you need us to be except for SoundCloud, and you know why. iTunes, all that good stuff.
How many people do you think are listening who actually don't know why we're not on SoundCloud, and all they've ever heard us say is because it's trash?
I don't know. I haven't looked. I've been like off of my algorithm. Like our podcast host has great, not algorithm. What's the word I'm thinking of?
Statistics.
Yes. Same. Whatever. I've been off of that. So I used to like obsess over our statistics, and because our podcast host has great statistics, and I haven't seen them. So I don't even know if we've grown our audience. I have no idea. I just see new people tweet us on social media, and then that's how I know.
One thing that's slightly problematic about stats, at least for me now, is Spotify does not share their stats, at least in the same place. So, you know, that's fine. As long as people are listening and enjoying the show, it's all good.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, what's up, Doc? You're here?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm, you know, in the building, as the adults say, because the kids don't say in the building. Yeah, y'all can follow me if you want at @doc_beats, S9SZ on Twitter, or like Armand said, just follow the show at CRS Podcast. Yeah, man. Things are good. I talked about it on the pre-show a little bit, which if you're not a Patreon subscriber, you can hear at patreon.com/CRS Podcast. But going to New Orleans for work this week. Got some other travel coming up, which I guess we'll talk about in a bit probably. But otherwise, you know, things are good.
Good, 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 good. So where do we start? Because we kind of have a lot to talk about, but then we don't.
We could start with why we didn't do a regular show last week.
Yes, okay. Please.
All right. So last week, and frankly, I mean, there's definitely some news this week, but in terms of new music, there's not a ton of new music out, much to our chagrin, so far in 2019. So last week we decided, you know, we could take a week off, but not really. And we did a show specifically for our Patreon subscribers. Shout out to them. And we talked about some random stuff like we always do. But then what we really did is we broke down this bracket in true Clock Radio Speakers fashion that attempted to explain the best hip hop albums, like, or not explain, but to sort of have them match up and see who came out on top. Mm-hmm. So I don't, you know, we're not going to give
see
too
me
much
on
away.
Top.
We're not going to give too much away about what that episode was about. Thanks to everybody who listened and gave us feedback. We did have some questions specifically, and then overall, I got some stats that could be interesting to Armand. I want to talk about, but so we had somebody ask us why we were so down on UGK's album,
Riding Dirty, yeah,
which was a number one seed in the South bracket, going up against Trap or Die.
Yes, it was.
And I mean, I'll be honest, right? Like in like 96, 97, I wasn't really listening to UGK.
Same.
So for me to put that over Trap or Die would have just been me sort of saying, oh, well, you know, that gets it off the strength of its reputation. But like I'm comfortable. Like Trap or Die, that meant something to me. You know, that was a moment. That was momentous. Right, so
momentous,
like
momentous, baby.
So I had no problem putting that over, but I get like some of the stuff, and you know, we talked about this on the Patreon exclusive episode last week. But it seemed that the person who put this bracket together was he probably like a little bit older than you and I are, so like some of the choices were weighted a little bit more in that direction. So that kind of makes sense. But you know, I don't know. That was my reaction to that anyway. What was your? How about you with the UGK? Same thing. You just weren't up on it.
Yeah. Well, two things to your point. I'm just gonna push back for the sake of pushing back because I agree with you. But there were other albums in the bracket that we did give a pass to for, or you gave a pass to because of lineage and history and impact like that. So is it because maybe Ride and Dirty had more regional impact versus something like Straight Outta Compton or America's Most Wanted, where you said you didn't listen to it, but off of the sheer impact of those albums, you voted for them?
I think in that case, it was also where like you had a stronger opinion, right?
Okay, okay.
You know what I mean? Like if yep. you would have come in and said, man, actually, let me tell you about UGK Ride and Dirty, I might have, it still would have been more of a conversation, but like the older West Coast albums, you know, I've listened to them. I have some opinions, but like you grew up with them. They meant something.
Sure.
Yeah. Right. So I was like, I get it.
Yep. Yep.
I actually, yep. I mean, no disrespect to UGK, but like me personally, like considering the strength of some other albums in that bracket, like it felt a little overseeded.
Like, oh, it definitely shouldn't have been the number one seed in the South.
Right. But you know, one thing I want to say is that I feel like, now maybe it's because I grew up listening to, you know, 90s New York City hip hop for the most part with some West Coast stuff thrown in. But like when we tell the story of like how the South came to prominence, Rap-A-Lot is really like not given its due.
At all.
Right. People will talk about, oh yeah, Scarface did, you know, it was Scarface and the Ghetto Boys and then UGK. But like to hear a lot of people tell it, it was basically like, well, you know, Outkast and then Cash Money and No Limit. And then what, trap music? Like we just sort of skip over and it's like, no, there was a lot of other stuff going on there.
Yeah.
And I know everybody who's listening to this who's from the South is screaming right now, but it's true. Like the perception outside is, I think basically it's just like Rap-A-Lot. The history of Rap-A-Lot doesn't get a lot of love.
Not at all. I would say Suave House as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
There are those, I don't want to call them second tier because I don't want to disrespect them, but those second tier label or record labels that really, man, got it out the mud, like for real during that time. And though they have records, like them as a collective don't get their just due. I agree 100%. I was actually going to make a point, speaking of Rap-A-Lot, in regards to Scarface and in with UGK Ride and Dirty, where like I didn't want a Scarface is the greatest MC in the South Ride and Dirty. You know what I mean by that? Like,
oh, just sort of give it to him off the strength of the rep.
Yeah, like I can always tell. So like, for example, with Rick Ross, like I can tell if Deeper Than Rap is your favorite Ross album, like you're not really familiar with his catalog. Because anybody who has one ear and has listened to more than that and the singles knows that like all the albums after that are like Deeper Than Rap on steroids. It's what we call Blueprint 3 to Watch the Throne, where they're doing something different and they just haven't mastered it yet. What Ross was trying to do on Deeper Than Rap is mastered on Teflon Don, God Forgives I Don't, Rich Forever, whatever. So in the same vein, I totally forgot the point that I was going to make.
You said that so confidently, though.
I did, because I had a really good point. We were talking about, oh, okay, I'm sorry. So when people say, there we go. So when people say Scarface is the best MC in the South or Bun B is the greatest MC in the South, like, it's just like a default answer by, you know, not to disrespect your kind, Doc, but, you know, I grew up on East Coast hip hop guys. That's usually where you hear that from.
I thought you were going to say white people.
No. I would never, you people, not, no.
I was bracing myself for it. I was like, wow. Nah, is it because we like them to rap fast? I was trying to connect the dots. I was like, well, we do like fast rappers.
There's a lot of fast rappers out nowadays.
Well, they all grew up on Eminem.
Yeah. It's a good point. So when people say, yo, Scarface is the greatest MC in the South, and I'm just like, there's a difference when people, I think the difference is when people explain it.
Right.
Because I can't say that there's no way Scarface could be the greatest of somebody, because he absolutely could. But when you hear it in general from people, it's the sympathy vote. I have to include somebody that's not from New York, so I don't have to show my, so I'm not showing my bias, but not realizing that it totally shows your bias.
Just say Andre. Is it that hard? That's a whole other conversation.
I think that's the answer now.
Yeah.
And I think that's a lot easier to quantify because, yeah, sure, absolutely. But there's a bunch of great lyricists from the South. But yeah, it's another conversation. So do we want to go through the bracket now? Or do we want to come back? What do we want to do?
No, what I was going to say, and then the other question we were asked is, so you and I, the conceit of the episode is you and I made our way through the bracket. We tried to agree. We mostly got there. We had to do some trading, which is hilarious, to get to a consensus sort of final, you know, championship game, as it were. We got to Illmatic and Doggy Style.
Yeah.
And somebody asked me, you know, why do we make a big, you know, part of my argument is I was like, listen, like without Illmatic, the 90s New York City hip hop renaissance is just not the same. And so many of the sort of trademark New York City hip hop artists of the 90s, their debut albums look fantastically different.
Yeah.
Whereas Doggy Style, like, took what Chronic did and turned it up to 12, right? But like, I think Illmatic was more important, basically. And someone's like, well, why didn't you make that argument when you talked about Doggy Style over Chronic? And I guess my response to that is, I thought I kind of was, but like, we had to do some trades and you won out because you felt so strongly and you grew up on more West Coast music than I did.
Yeah.
So I think that was pretty much why. But that was
tough. I went back and listened to both of those and it's close. The Chronic is great, but I couldn't.
That's fair.
I couldn't. Another one that I felt like we didn't really give Death Certificate a good shot. Death Certificate is one of those albums that, like, I grew up on America's Most, and then my dad had Death Certificate, but I never listened to it. But then I went back and I went on like oh my God, I was so angry by the end of the day. I had like an Ice Cube day. I listened to a lot of Ice Cube and, bro, they're close. They're closer than we give credit for. I'm not trying to restructure my vote because I think, let me look at the West. Does it say, I mean, it would have lost to the Chronic anyway.
Right.
But both of those albums, man, Ice Cube's first two, possibly three albums are really, really good.
Conversely, like, it's just because the bracket didn't happen to set up this way. Like, the way that you feel about, say, like Doggy Style versus Chronic, if say Only Built for Cuban Links and 36 Chambers got matched up, I'd make the exact same argument about 36 Chambers, right? I would say, yeah, it's just better.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, Cuban Links is better, right? Like 36 Chambers, like, sure, without 36 Chambers, Cuban Links doesn't exist, but Cuban Links took everything that they knew how to do on that and went way further. So I get it.
Right.
It just depends on what you feel the most strongly about.
Yep.
So you and I never really did resolve Illmatic versus Doggy Style. But one thing, we could sit here and go crazy with the stats that Bracketify gives us, which is cool. The one thing I want to say the most is basically, you know, we had a bunch of people from our Patreon voted. By far, Illmatic got the most votes, the most championship votes, etc. I think what sort of surprised me is some of the other albums that clearly had like their favorites and their champions. Like, somebody voted Marshall Mathers LP for the best album, which when I trounced it in the first round, they must have been really mad at me. But where I think it's really interesting is like you can also go and see sort of like rank, like they try to quantify like based off of what ranking it was, like how did it do overall? You know what I mean? And so like you get a chance to see like what albums kind of like hit above their weight, so to speak. And Good Kid, Mad City, I mean, to no one's surprise, but like our Patreon listeners love Good Kid, Mad City, right? Good Kid, Mad City was like a 7 seed, but, you know, got like tied for the second most number of votes overall. But yeah, I don't know. It was a really interesting process to go through it. I think albums is a good way to do it. I was trying to think like, would songs be interesting? But that's like impossible. Would artists be interesting? But I don't even know how you do that. But albums is kind of I don't know. I didn't mind the albums one. It was good. I appreciated it.
It was great. It was great. Yeah.
Anything else you want to say about the bracket?
I would love to.
Talk to me. What do you got?
I don't know. I would love to do this again with, is it possible to do it again with different albums?
Of course, I mean, sure. We could reseed. We could do a process where like you and I try to like, okay, let's actually fill out how we would fill. But that's a
listen. First of all, we would need a long table. We would need we'd need some blueprints. We would need probably 2 days.
A whiteboard or two.
Yes. Yes. And I just want Marissa to like record like a montage of just us like yelling at each other and using like just lots of hand animations. Cause that's just to get the seating right. Like, how could you put that at number four? just empty Chinese food bowls and like late nights and yeah, that would be funny. That would be funny. We could live stream that. I wonder who would watch that all 65 hours that it would take for us to do the brackets.
Okay. You ready to move on?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Let's save the weighty stuff for the end. Where else do you want to go? We could totally switch gears. You want to talk about your man Lil Nas X?
Sure. I would love to have this conversation. Yes.
Okay. So... Before you heard about, so there's a controversy with his song. It's called Old Town Road. Now, before you heard about the controversy, had you even heard of the song?
No, I was like, who's Nas? I was like, wait, what's Nas doing? Yeah, I didn't know.
You're like,
no,
Lil Nas X?
Yeah.
What?
Huh? Is Lil Uzi XXX 10 time? is it Uzi X and Nas on a Swiss beat or something?
Some whistles and...
Swiss is 100% producing a country record. If you don't think he has one in the stash, you have Mr. Beats. Sadly, mistake.
So Lil Nas X is from Atlanta. He has this... I love when articles call things viral hits. It's like, what does that even mean now? But basically, he has this song called Old Town Road, which is on the Hot 100 charts. It's on the Hot R&B and Hip Hop Song charts. But it showed up on the Billboard Hot Country Songs chart because, I mean, it's got some country guitars. The video, certainly, I mean, it's like based off of what Red Dead Redemption 2. Like, so it's kind of, I don't know. There's like this whole thing where it's like, I think part of the mainstream's problem with this is they can't quite figure out, is this like a meme or a joke or is it for real? There's definitely, I think, some of that happening. And I think country music in general is used to being made fun of. So there's some sensitivity to that for sure. But the controversy is that it showed up on the Hot Country Songs chart and then it was removed because according to Billboard, they said, Old Town Road incorporates references to country and cowboy imagery. It does not embrace enough elements of today's country music to chart in its current version. Which, of course, got people all riled up and, frankly, might have been the best thing to ever happen to Lil Nas X's career. But people are wondering, why is it on the country charts?
Yeah.
There's a lot of ways to come at this. I think people are immediately, and I understand why, immediately going to the idea of, oh, is it because he's black, basically? You can't have a black guy on the country charts.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there's certainly enough historical issues with black country music artists I don't question that line of thought at all. There are some black country stars, but not a ton. So I get that 100%. I think part of it too is the hip-hopification of just music in general, right? Like, the idea, like trap tempos and drums show up in all kinds of music now.
Yes.
And
yes.
We end up in this weird place where it's like, what exactly makes a country music song?
Right.
Like what is the difference between like this and that? Like, especially as, like if you are a country singer and you are Florida Georgia Line, are you familiar with them?
I know the name. I don't know any of their songs.
They're like bro country is how I would describe them.
Bro country.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's actually like an unofficial term that people use when referring. There's like a whole subgenre of country music, which is
so like gangster rap.
Yeah, it's like bro country, right? It's a lot of like singing, sort of like the closest, I don't know, sort of like stadium anthem style stuff, but it's a lot, but it's definitely designed to be easily sung along to. And there's a whole lot of songs about like pickup trucks and cute girls I'm going to get in my pickup truck and a lot of that. It's not super sophisticated content wise, but it is. And there is also like a pop sheen typically applied to it, right? So like, what's the difference between like some pop music and some country music? I don't know. Right? Like, but we still have these genre charts and it's like, like, what do you do with that? You know, like we talked about this in a different way on our bracket episode last week, right? The bracket had NERD In Search Of on it. And I looked at that and I was like, that's not a hip hop album. But like, what kind of music does NERD make? Some songs have rapping, some have singing.
Right.
Right. Right. Guitars on some, drum machines on others. Sometimes it kind of resembles a pop song. Sometimes it's an R&B song. Sometimes it's a rap song. I don't know. What do you call it?
Yep. Yep.
You know? So,
go ahead.
No, I was going to say, so I've been rambling on like technically and everything else, but like I have to ask you, like when you heard about, I mean, we definitely have to talk about how funny the song is. Sorry, Lil Nas X, but we'll get, I'm trying to save the slander for the end because it's an interesting concept. But like when you heard about this, what immediately came to mind for you?
What is pop? Mm. What is country? What is hip hop? And I think you start with one genre and then you work your way back. So I was thinking like, okay, so I said this recently, hip hop is pop music. So if pop is short for popular, hip hop culture obviously rules the world and has done so for a long time. So you have pop songs that have hip hop elements. You have hip hop songs that have pop elements. But then what's a pop song? So as a pop song, when I think of pop, I think of Britney Spears' Oops, I Did It Again. I think of like all of those TRL records that are clearly or Katy Perry fireworks. Like, is there, what elements of music do songs like that have?
That's a good question.
Elements of other genres do those songs have?
So,
like, I don't think they do, but maybe they do.
Sure. Like, they totally do. Like, and let me ask you this. What kind of music is Ariana Grande making right now?
Hip hop.
No, she's making pop music.
With elements, but it's like, so what makes it pop? Is it that it's catchy?
What makes it pop typically is that it's become popular. The sound of pop is changing all the time. Which is what makes pop really hard to define.
Right, right. Because to me, if Ariana Grande, if let's say if A. Marie or if Kelly Rowland or if an urban artist, if her makes those same records, they're not pop records.
Race. So I mean, that's interesting. No, I'm trying to talk through this out loud, right? To deny that race has a role is stupid, right? Because we all know it
does. Right.
I mean, because that's where these divisions often sort of historically come from, right? Like it used to be called like, I mean, they still call it urban radio. Like, what do you think they mean?
Right.
They're like, oh, that's black people radio. But they can't say they can't say that.
Right. Right.
So I mean, yeah, and it gets real, you have artists as well who are mixed race. So where do you put them? And it's
where do you put somebody like Logic?
Right. Logic, who just, you know, we're not even going to talk about his album, but like just did, like I would not really call his album hip hop. I don't know what I would call it. But like that's kind of, I don't know. We're increasingly in an era where like you're pulling elements of this, you're pulling elements of that. But like, I don't know. I guess I would call Ariana Grande. She's like right on that pop R&B line.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you this. Before Fantasy, what kind of music did Mariah Carey make?
Oof.
That's pop music, my friend.
Yeah.
But Fantasy is an R&B song.
Right. Mm-hmm. But it went pop.
Sure. It blew up. But like Mariah Carey made pop music. But like...
And Mariah Carey's run consists of what? What type of music did she make during her run?
She made both pop and R&B.
But what are some pop songs during Mariah's? Okay, so I'll say starting from Fantasy.
Oh, from Fantasy. Into,
yeah, like it seemed like those first two albums, yeah, super pop. So Make It Happen, Vision of Love. Yeah, those are super poppy records.
Dream Lover.
But those are hip hop drums though.
Well, but that's the problem, right? Is hip hop over time as it increases to like seep into every avenue of like music, like, you know, especially production elements get borrowed all the time. Like dance music in the 90s appropriated hip hop drums like crazy. Right? Like, I mean, I don't know. You wouldn't call Limp Bizkit rap, would you?
Right. But would you call Rollin' or In Together Now, like, are those hip hop records? Are those rock records?
Right. What makes a rock record? I mean, this is, we're at the fundamental question. It's what happens when, you know, we're now several generations past, like several generations deep into not just, a rap song, a country artist making this kind of song, but just no, like we're taking elements and doing stuff. Right. I think in the Lil Nas X specific category, like, the thing is, like, it sounds like, I mean, it is kind of like he's sort of poking fun. You know, it's like, it's not really like incredible, amazing, like poignant lyrics. And I think there's a sensitivity to that on the countryside where, like, you know, people are like, yeah, we know we sing a lot about tractors, but it's different. You know, like there is definitely like, they got a little too wounded over this, right? You could tell that they're feeling some kind of way about their lyrics and their perception of like what makes a country song, and they're really trying to defend it. But like, there's this one article I skimmed through. It was linked off of a Billboard article where they were talking about how like, this is just a meme song. And I was like, yeah, welcome to 2019, my friend.
Right.
Right. Like if it's just a meme song mattered, I mean, we should go take a big old eraser to the Billboard charts for the past 3 years. Cause like that's what's happening, you know?
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, I don't know. It's, to me, the thing is interesting because, like, it's kind of a jokey song, but, like, you know, when I heard it, the first thing I thought of was, I was like, oh, man, it's like Ghetto Cowboy, which was a terrible song.
It was.
And, like, nobody really wanted to call that a country song. I don't know what you call that song. But, like, somebody liked it. And, like, people are listening to this song. And like, I'm sure some of them are listening to it because they think it's funny, but like there are some people who think it's like a good or an enjoyable song to listen to, you know?
Yeah.
So like, I'm sort of rambling and going on and back, but like all that to say, some of it is definitely maybe not, I don't know. I hate fudge words like racially motivated, just say racist. Some of it is definitely influenced by race for sure. But, like, I don't think it's entirely by that. I think some of it is a generational gap.
Yeah. Yeah, because I guess another question that I would have is, how does Lil Nas X define himself? Mm. Does he define himself as a rapper? Because when we, you know, I saw the argument, well, if Lil Nas X isn't a country rapper, then Post Malone is in hip-hop.
Post Malone's an interesting case for sure.
Well, here's the thing. Didn't Post Malone come out and say, I'm not a rapper? Like, I'm not a hip hop. You got rappers who say, I'm not a rapper.
Right.
So, but I didn't Post Malone come out and say, like, I don't make hip hop music. Like, I just make music.
Yeah.
Did he say something similar to that?
Yeah, he did.
So I guess my question would be, well, how does Lil Nas X define himself? You know, because as you said, there's a generation gap. So, you know, the Jada Kisses and the Nas's of the world and the Fabulous's that rap a certain way, like they don't, the kids who are rappers now don't rap like that at all. You know what I'm saying? So I'm listening to the Lil Uzi record, right? And to me, it comes off as rappity rap for this generation.
Hmm.
He's doing wordplay. It's really wordy. It's just got melody to it. So, and even when I think of the rappity rappers that people will call rappity rappers of this generation, from Cole and Kendrick all the way down to somebody like Reason, J.I.D., like, they have lots of elements of melody and singing in their music. Yeah. Now, if they were out in the early 2000s, would they be considered rappers? Nah, they would probably get the Nelly treatment, right?
Nelly was a rapper.
There you go. But how does, but Nelly, all of Nelly's representation of his music was pop.
Or when he makes records with Tim McGraw over and over again. No?
No, I was over and over. Okay.
It's a bad song. It's a bad
song. That's a terrible song. So it's so weird now. And then I saw people use the J line from What's Free. I look at Billboard like, is you dumb? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sure, sure, sure. That's great. But it, I mean, it does have some credence though, because it's like we're in the generation, we're definitely in a generation where the artists are questioning the things that our generation said provide value to your music. So you've got artists now who don't want Grammys. You got artists now who don't want to chart number one on Billboard. Or if they do, like, they want a number one record, sure. But like, that's not the thing. Not like it was years ago. What's charting for them now is how many streams they get on Spotify. Like, Spotify is the new Billboard, low key, because their metrics are public or visible. So I don't know, man. I ranted myself just to say,
Yeah, I mean, at some point, maybe it'll be Lil Nas X, maybe it won't be, but like at some point, someone's just gonna make a straight on country trap album.
Oh, it's coming.
Right. So like, how are we gonna call that? I don't know. It's music.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
The genres increasingly kind of work, but kind of don't. Right? They're not for everybody. Some people enjoy being in a certain genre because, like, sometimes it's true. Like, when you're being creative, sometimes infinite options just means you don't do anything. It's too much. Sometimes you need, like, you know, I think when you're creative, you always need some kind of limitation. Sometimes that limitation is genre. Sometimes it's, listen, I'm just, this is the beat and I'm going to do the best I can with it. Sometimes it's a time limitation. Sometimes it's a money limitation, but like you need something. Cause if you have infinite everything, you'll never finish.
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh, I think it's safe to say this is a representation and we're in another Wild West period.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. But we were just in one like 3 years ago.
Bubba Sparks was kind of ahead of his time, man.
Wait a minute. I know exactly what song you're talking about. Call it Paul, Bubba Sparks.
Not that one.
No. All right, where's it at? Here we go. Let me save this to my...
Now, if this comes out today, what happens?
I don't know. He's rapping on it, though.
He's rapping. I love her,
but you never would know. But what about, like, Coming Round?
Ooh, Coming.
This beat's kind of hard, though.
It is hard. It comes in really, really dope.
Timbo was like, I can make a beat with that. It's fine.
Absolutely.
But like, so now imagine somebody attacks that beat, but not from a, I'm going to rap straight up, but instead like they're going to auto-tune and do a little sing rap. What do you even call that? I don't know.
Right.
Country themes, right. Country sounds, trap drums, kind of rapping, kind of singing. I don't know.
Yeah.
There's probably a market for something like that too.
Yep.
Clearly, this Lil Nas X thing. I mean, some of this is driven by like memes and stuff, but like, I don't know. I think we'll get there.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll get there. We'll get there.
All right. What do you want to talk about next? You want to talk about Coachella?
Yeah, let's do it.
Do you have something else you want to talk about for Lil Nas X?
Nah, okay. We're good. Let's do it.
Your man, Kanye West.
My man.
Your man. announced. So he's been doing these Sunday services. Have you been keeping up with them as they come out every week?
Nah, I haven't. I haven't. Which is stupid because every time I see a clip, I'm like, yo, this is really dope. But I never watch a full one.
It was kind of rumored a little bit, but people were pretty skeptical because it seemed like he wasn't going to play Coachella. But it turns out they announced yesterday that he's bringing Sunday service to Coachella on Easter Sunday. Mm. They're going to play at sunrise somewhere and nobody knows anything else. So knowing Kanye, he has no qualms about, we'll say, invoking religious imagery and we'll just say, leave it at that, in his music, in his releases, etc. Right. The guy behind Yeezus, the guy behind I Am a God.
Right.
Doesn't seem crazy that he might release something on Good Friday now, would it? Too soon? Good Friday would be, it's 2 days before he plays at Coachella.
The only reason why is just my guard is completely down from Kanye West music.
You're like, I'm not ready. I don't need it right now. I'm not ready.
Yeah, I'm just not thinking about it.
Yeah.
You know, and if I'm basing Yandy off of music I've heard, I'm good. But with Kanye and with time, you never know.
Yeah, at this point, all bets are off. Like, I have whatever we heard from Yandy in the fall, I mean, who knows?
Right.
Right, because, you know, before there was Pablo, there was Swish.
Yes.
Or actually before that, it was So Help Me God.
Yes.
Right? Which, you know, 4 or 5 seconds, which is a totally forgotten about song, which is amazing considering it's Rihanna and Kanye and Paul McCartney.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, some of that stuff ended up in other places and a lot of it didn't end up anywhere, not get finished or whatever. But like, you know, we thought for a time that like So Help Me God was going to be like all day and 4 or 5 seconds and everything else. And then, you know, turns out that actually he went in a completely different direction on Pablo.
Totally different. Yeah.
So like nobody has any idea. But yeah. I don't know. I feel like he's we'll see if the larger population is like ready to like, you know, uncancel Kanye. Not that he was canceled, but you know, some people wanted it. But you know, I think it'll be interesting to see, like, because the Sunday service thing has been popping on social media, but it hasn't really crossed over huge.
Yeah.
Right? It's not like you open up BuzzFeed on Monday morning and they're talking about Sunday service all the time or anything like that. But right. You know, he's playing a more prominent role in the Kardashian show this season, apparently. And now it's Coachella. I feel like something's happening. It would be kind of weird to me to go to the trouble of doing whatever they're going to do for Sunday service for Coachella, to be more involved in the Kardashian show, but then like not release an album anytime soon. That would be strange, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. At least a song. Maybe not a full project, but a song.
A song. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, Kanye's going to Coachella.
Okay.
And I'll be there as well. Yes, sir.
Man, who do you know, man?
I don't know anybody, man.
Dox and the Illuminati.
I'm not. I've never booked a trip with so few details in my life. I know I'm going to Sunday service. That is all I know. It'll be interesting. Marissa's never been to LA, so it'll be nice to fly out to LA. I somehow was able to grab a hotel in Palm Springs, which is close enough to Coachella to make it work. Hotels are ridiculously expensive during Coachella, as you might imagine. I was able to be, you know, got something that was all right. But yeah, if all goes well, I'll be at Sunday service, and I have no idea what to expect.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I don't know what to say. It'll be strange for sure. Like,
yeah,
they announced it to like everybody. Like Coachella's official account tweeted it out. So like they're clearly planning on it somehow being more intimate, not intimate, but more accessible than the previous Sunday services have had. But like, I don't know. are they really going to have like everybody pour into the Coachella grounds at like 6 a.m. to watch the sunrise?
I wonder if it's one of those things where you just kind of got to get up and I think that the locational leak.
Well, yeah, because like the this is where I get nerdy, right? But like the logistics of something like this.
Right.
Feels weird. Like, because like if you open up at six or open up for sunrise, well, that means you got to have like all the guards there, all the front gate people, all the merch. Like you got to, and those people just went to bed like the night before. You know what I mean? Like logistically, festivals, there's a reason why festivals don't open up at like 7 a.m. or whatever. You know what I mean? Like it's just too much. So like, yeah. I don't know. I feel like there's another, like they're going to do something different maybe, but I don't know, man. I'm looking forward to it. Like when you get an invite to come out to Sunday service, you say yes.
I mean, you kind of have to.
Yeah. So yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm jealous.
I'm not trying to make anybody jealous. I'm just like, I'm happy to be going. I definitely, I wish I had some new Clock Radio speaker shirts. I could really...
Well, I was going to say, Doc, are they going to give you like the white garb?
So Marissa definitely had questions such as, do we have to wear all white? But then like 1 week they were wearing black and then she was kind of confused about that. And what we realized is like, if you see some of the social media videos, there are the people who are like performing and then there are like people in like a small audience and they're just wearing whatever. So like, we'll be fine. So, you know, Doc Cella. I didn't even get a laugh out of that. That was bad. I might have to edit that out. That was terrible. But yeah, so going to Coachella, man. I don't even know if I'm going to the rest of it. I should actually, who's playing Coachella?
Yeah, we should probably know, find that out.
So I fly out Saturday. Like, so I can't see Childish on Friday night, but I've seen Childish before. So I'm good there.
Okay.
But like, I don't know. If I get a chance, I wouldn't mind seeing Solange or Kid Cudi. That'd be cool.
Yep.
If I'm up for sunrise Sunday service on Sunday, do I really want to stay up for Ariana Grande at night? Maybe not. But Pusha T, her, Blood Orange, YG, Catriona. There's some people on Sunday, for sure. I gotta see Pusha.
Have you seen Pusha solo before?
Never. I've never seen the clips live. I mean, I've never seen Pusha T live in concert.
Well, I mean, yeah, that should be good. That's solid.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, there's a lot of other people, but like, you know, I don't know. Do I want to see Playboi Carti? Not really. Do I want to see 070 Shake? Not really.
Has she done anything since?
Not really.
Huh.
Yeah.
Didn't she sign with Good Music?
Something like that. I feel like Good Music has a lot of artists like that where it's like, yeah, they're kind of signed.
Yeah, they're signed.
Yeah. Oh, I could go I could go see Sheck West on Saturday.
What? So he can do what's the name of that stupid song? So he can do Mo Bamba?
I was gonna say the worst popular rap song in recent memory.
400 times.
Tell me how you really feel.
It's a terrible song.
It is a terrible song. Yeah. Anything else you want to say about Kanye at Coachella?
Nah.
All right. So let's talk about the saddest news of the week by far.
Yeah.
So this was it last night? Sunday night?
Sunday afternoon around 3:30.
So we're recording West Coast time. Recording this Monday, April 1st. So yeah, a little more than 24 hours ago. Nipsey was shot right in front of his clothing store on Slauson, right?
Yep.
Man, he was shot 6 times.
5 in the chest, 1 in the head.
So last I had seen, there's a suspect, but not yet captured, or they don't really know much. But is that still accurate?
No.
All right, Armand, you got the world exclusive, the world premiere?
Yeah. I have, it's kind of, I'm not going to lie, it's kind of one of the reasons why I don't know if it's come off that I've kind of been like not as focused on the show because my phone has been blowing up. So basically what happened was, dude, is a known snitch, and he came by the store. Nipsey told the dude that he was not good, in that area, and asked him to leave. They argue. Man, dude basically leaves because, now I don't know if this is for sure, but one of the things I heard was that Nip kind of was like, well, if you're not a snitch, then bring back some paperwork. So dude says, all right. And then he leaves, comes back about 20 minutes later. And the surveillance footage is out. He basically came around from the side, hit Nipsey in the back, and a couple people who are close to him also got hit. But I think that the other two people who got hit are in stable condition. They're going to be okay. But hit the dude, or hit a shot Nipsey. Nipsey falls. Nipsey's trying to get up. The dude realizes that, you know, nobody else is coming out. From what I'm hearing, Nipsey told his bodyguard to take that day off and basically stood over Nipsey, shot him some more times, and then before he leaves, kicks Nipsey in the head, runs off, gets into getaway car, and drives off. Now, this might be out by the time the show gets out in the morning, but from what I heard, the dude's already dead. That his neighborhood was shot up several times yesterday, and as of maybe 20 minutes ago, the word is coming around that he's died.
Damn.
So no Dr. Sebi, no conspiracy theory, just really unnecessary, prideful, ego, insecurity nonsense. And that's me being nice. Just unnecessary.
Yeah, the conspiracy theory stuff. Did I miss something with all that? Like,
what? I think where we are as a culture, I think what happens is that, do I want to say, you know, this is my show.
This is your show.
Half my show.
Our show.
So I said half mine, half yours. So I feel like I want to be responsible.
Okay.
I want to be responsible. I don't think that people, I think that when people try to rationalize trauma and then don't do it from a healthy place, not even just do it from a healthy place. I think sometimes the easy way is to connect the dots. And our favorite question to ask is why? Why did this happen? Why does this happen? Why, right?
Right.
And in a lot of instances, we don't know why. And we may not ever know why in some regard. But I think for some people, they want, I guess, knowing why, not I guess, like for a lot of people, knowing why, I guess, helps with the process. It helps understand, which then, you know, I guess gives way to closure and all that stuff. Okay, cool. But I think because Black people have been treated the way that we've been treated, I think that narrative is just really easy to tell. So now all of a sudden there's a clip of Nipsey sarcastically saying, hey, you know, if I get killed over this Dr. Sebi documentary, y'all ride for me. And it's like, yep, that's it. It's the government. Doc, you know, people want to connect Nipsey and Tupac's death to a big conspiracy, a big ending, a big whatever. In thinking about this and in getting this information, you know who I compare their deaths to?
Who?
Omar Little.
Hmm.
Now, if you watch The Wire season 4, you know that they were leading up to, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen it, just go ahead and fast forward about 3 minutes. But if you haven't seen The Wire at this point, several things are wrong with you. season five is leading up to this big showdown between Omar Little, Marlo Stansfield. And Omar is so focused on Marlo that he lets his guard down and Kennard kills him, a kid, while he's buying Cheerios. Like, at his most vulnerable, he gets gunned down. Nipsey Hussle, same vein, in front of his store. If it's true that he told his security guards to take the day off, clearly he believes that nothing is going to happen to them. If he's in his own store, of course his guard is going to be down. And because Nipsey knew the dude, then if he comes up to him, clearly the conversation or the argument or whatever, I'm sure his guard was still down even with the argument. Tupac is at a fight in Las Vegas, even though he got into the fight with Orlando Anderson. And I'm assuming that after you get into a fight, you're not expecting, as big as Las Vegas is, I'm sure his guard was down. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. So it sometimes it's not this great big conspiracy. Excuse my language. Sometimes it's just some nigga stuff. Sometimes it's just pure ignorance. And now we have to deal with just death. Unnecessary. Like, I hate, like, Doc, there are a few things that I hate more than things that are unnecessary, particularly when it's unnecessary death. Like, this was just so easily avoidable. But yet here we are. And it sucks. It's stupid. It's trash. It's whack, man.
Yeah. So the conspiracy stuff is interesting, right? I mean, I think I largely agree with what you're saying. I think people want there to be a bigger meaning sometimes to things, right? For some people, they find meaning in community, in the church, in lots of places. Mm-hmm. Some people want to find meaning in believing that there's a reason, there's logic behind terrible or amazing things that happen.
Mm-hmm.
No. Sometimes,
yeah.
Often, no. There's no government. The government can barely do something. Like, you really think the government can pull off a conspiracy? Have you been, like, anybody who's ever, I don't know. I feel like I said this before on the show, but I'll say it again. The higher you go up in your career and the more you're on, like, conference calls and meetings with important people and stuff, the more you realize there's no conspiracy. These people can't pull anything off without screwing. Like, they're people just like you and me, right? At the highest level, the whatever you want to believe, but, like, no. Nah. It's still just regular people. And regular people, when you get a bunch of them in a room, they all do stupid things because we all do stupid things. There's no conspiracy here. I don't know. Nipsey was one of those cases where, like, I'm not surprised to see the outpouring of not just sadness, obviously, but, like, love for Nipsey and the music that he made. And who he was, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we talked about on the show, you were a much bigger fan of his music than I was.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I think he represented... I know there were no doubt in you. I think you're one of them. People who were huge fans of his music. But I think people were also fans of him as a person.
Mm-hmm.
And what he was about.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it definitely, like... I think that's some of what we're seeing, like, a response to, like, you know, you see this in a lot of places. I mean, basically, you can sum it up to people feel like he was a real person.
Yeah.
Now, real has a lot of different meanings. I think Nipsey was somebody who was real in all sorts of meanings. Right. Like, he's somebody who made a lot of money. He's married to someone who has also made some money.
Yeah.
He didn't need to be at his clothing store, but he wanted to be at his clothing store because he believed in trying to, one person at a time, but in trying to better the community that he came from.
Yep.
Not everybody does that.
Correct.
I don't fault people who don't do that, but I don't fault people who do.
Correct. I agree. I agree.
I think when you come from trauma, and that can mean a lot of different things, but, like, I think honestly, it's like there really truly are, like, there's two different kinds of people, right? There's the kind of people who look at, you know, if you've made it and you've like, if you've made it out, quote unquote, out of some traumatic experience, whether that's living in an abusive home, whether that's growing up in the hood, whether that's whatever it is, right? There's two types of people. People who look at that and go, that is systematically messed up. Me as a person will never fix that problem. And what I need to do is get as far away as possible so that it can never touch me again.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are the other people who go, this is systematically messed up and the system can never fix it. We're going to have to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
And they stay.
Mm-hmm.
I lean towards the former, but I don't fault anybody who believes the latter at all.
Mm.
And I think Nipsey believed the latter for 100% for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really, it's interesting. I was thinking about how many rappers who got killed in their own neighborhood. So X got killed in Florida, right?
Yeah.
Was that part of Florida his neighborhood, or was that just like where he moved, or was he relatively close? Or
that's a good question. I don't really know.
Okay. I don't feel like looking for it, but maybe one of our listeners can let us know how close he was. I should just text my daughter. Stack Bundles killed in Far Rockaway. I believe Freaky Todd was killed in Queens as well. Maybe the most infamous of all, Big L, killed in Harlem. I thought about some of the other artists. You know, is it a flex, as the youth say, to stay in the environment? Because I think what Nipsey was doing was different, because Nipsey was trying to actually like raise property value, buy real estate,
right?
You know, really better the community financially, versus, you know, Big L, Stack Bundles, other people who were killed, like. You know, I'm not going to sit up here and say they didn't do anything, because I don't know, but they definitely weren't doing that. But is that one of those, like, it's one of those hip hop things where like, yo, I'm good anywhere. I'm good at home. The streets love me, yada, 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 yada. And all it takes is one person. Like, sure, the streets love you. Your neighborhood loves you. But there's one person. And that's all it takes, who has enough courage juice to get you because you're at home. Doc, how are you when you're at home? Your shoes are off, your feet are up. You are no more vulnerable at home. Maybe I said that wrong.
You are no more secure at home.
Okay, there we go. Sure.
Yeah, well, it's more like, I get what you're trying to say, which is naturally you relax.
You're at your most vulnerable at home.
Sure.
There we go. So if that for some people, you know, I'm sure, Doc, you're not running up and down your street saying, like, this is my block. But
I mean, I whisper, this is my block. No, I'm just kidding.
Now, at the neighborhood watch meetings, you're like, yes, this is my block.
And we don't have neighborhood watch meetings. I don't live in that kind of
neighborhood watch. Does that still exist?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of something called Next Door?
Maybe.
Oh, my God. If you want to know who the racist people are who live near you, go on Next Door, because it's a bunch of, but you have to like prove that you like live in your neighborhood, and they sort of assign you to your neighborhood or whatever. And then it's basically people who are like, hey, I saw some youths out and about. Watch out. It's like, imagine if you took like Neighborhood Watch and crossed it with Facebook. It's terrible.
Mm.
Anyway, go on. Something about my block.
South Scarface. Yeah, I don't know.
You were wondering,
is it
like a flex?
Yeah, is it something to brag on when you're like, yo, I'm in my hood, I got all my jewelry on, I'm in my new ride, I'm yada yada, blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, just in general, this fascination that rappers have. Because remember when 50 Cent said F the hood, like that was a big deal. He was the first rapper that was like, yeah, I'm getting rich and I'm not coming back. Like, he actually said it.
I think historically there is absolutely lionization of those who never forget where you came from, right?
Right.
I think about Nas and the scene in Belly where he goes back to Queensbridge, right?
Yeah.
But like, can I get really nerdy for a second here? So
sure, please.
I wonder how much of that is reactive and how much that is proactive, I guess is what I'm trying to say. What I really mean to say is, so like we know from social science, from statistics, that overwhelmingly people of color, when they are at a certain income bracket, they are buying, if they are buying property, they end up in neighborhoods that are often less nice. I mean, to put a word on it, but, you know, lower property values, lower school scores, et cetera, less nice than a white person making the same amount of money. Right. Right? There are lots of like historical systematic reasons for that, right? We could talk about redlining and real estate. We can talk about urban renewal and how that was targeted in neighborhoods. And we could talk about all sorts of stuff. But for a very long time in this country, and there's still lots of, I mean, some of it's casual, some of it's not so casual, racism and systematic oppression that aims people of color towards living in neighborhoods that have other people of color in it. So, you know, if you're a doctor and you make $200,000 a year, and if you're African American, you're more likely to live in a neighborhood that has people making like $50,000 a year than you are to live in a neighborhood with other people of your same socioeconomic status, right? So just across the board, nothing to do with hip hop or anything like that, but just across the board, it is very difficult in America for people of color to live, to actually, if you came out of poverty, you are more likely, even if you quote unquote make it, or even if you, you know, if you came out of poverty and you got a college degree and you've got a good job, you've got some bills, but you do, like if you're middle class, you are more likely to still be basically around the corner from the hood, more or less. We have systematically made it difficult in this country for people of color to escape that, even if they wanted to. So then what I wonder, and I'm sure there's, maybe we have some social scientists who listen to the show. If so, shout out to y'all. You do great work. But like, I don't know. I'd be speculating, but I'm asking, like, so is this desire to like prove that you've never left? Some of that is definitely like, I think in American, we don't like elites in this country. We like famous people, but we don't like snobby people.
Yes.
So there is definitely like an American thing about, oh, I'm authentic. I'm real. That's very American. And I wonder how much of this is like when you take that and you combine it with systematic real estate oppression, is that how you get to this sort of notion of I didn't leave the hood, I stayed around? Or is it more than that? You know what I mean? I don't know. But all I wanted to say about that long digression I just went on is like there's more to it than just I'm trying to be real, I'm trying to be authentic, or I you know, I didn't leave. There's a lot to that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I agree. I understand. I don't know. I wish I had some more to add to it, but I don't know. Yeah. It's deeper than rap. Right?
Right.
I don't know.
So I'm trying. So I you know, there's the obvious, you know, the media goes in all sorts of directions on this, right? You see the immediate, like, you know, RIP Nipsey Hussle, people doing tributes on social media. Conservative media obviously is embracing its worst tendencies and is, you know, basically making this like, well, you know, another black guy in a gang, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, okay, just shut up. Not needed right now. So like, here's another, as you put it when we started talking about this, here's another senseless, meaningless, unnecessary death. And like already, you know, I mean, at least as of Monday night, like the reaction sort of went in somewhat predictable ways, right? Is this become a thing where it's like, just like in America, our reaction to mass shootings, are we all just kind of numb to this and nothing ever really changes? Or do you feel like there's something different about Nipsey where people might actually think a certain way? Or what do you think happens after this?
I think it's usually different when people have a personal connection to a thing, because you can look at a situation from afar and say gun violence is wrong, or that was that school shooting was terrible. You know, I can't believe those kids lost their lives like that. That's wrong, right? But because there's the emotional connection is only on one tier, just this is bad, this is unfortunate. I think that it's easier for God, the way the news cycle is, and I think of how numb we are to this. It's just like, all right, when is it going to change? Enough with the thoughts and prayers. Let's get some action, X, Y, and Z. But clearly, Nipsey, more than fame, impacted a lot of people. And I think that the things that he stood for, even if you didn't know his music, he generally had a good reputation. And if you didn't know him, people that you like knew him and had very thoughtful things to say about him. And I see a lot of people are doing their research and watching interviews of him, and they're seeing his thought process. And I think it's like, I think that people will carry on what he was trying to do. I think that we will see an increase in ownership and, I mean, God, betting on yourself, especially with not only just rappers, but just people in general who, you know, God, I mean, how crazy is it for you to sell 100 copies of your or 1,000 copies of your mixtape for $100 and then come back and sell 60 copies of your next mixtape for $1,000? You know, like that's betting on yourself unlike any other. So I think that what he did for the entrepreneurial spirit will, I think that'll live on for sure, because people saw what he was doing. I think that that spirit is very much alive even prior to his death. And I think that that's just going to turn a corner for a lot of people. I think that's going to make the difference. But it's stupid, man. This is so stupid.
Yeah, and now somebody else has died as well, it sounds like.
Right. Like within a 24-hour period, just bodies.
Right.
For no reason. I think I saw somewhere with the LAPD chief, the LAPD chief said that there were, since last Sunday, 26 murders.
Sheesh.
It's not even hot outside yet. So, like, you know, another one of my homegirls was in the hospital this morning, and she said she saw about 10 people come in with gunshot wounds. Like, dog, I don't know, man. I don't know.
Let me ask you this. So you talked about texting your kids, right?
Yep.
So like you talked in the show before about how you talked to them about, you know, when XXX died. So how do you, I mean, if you're willing to talk about this, like when you have to talk to your kids about something like this, like what are you thinking?
Well, it was interesting because my girl asked me if my oldest daughter knew who Nipsey was. And I said, I don't know. I don't think so. So I shot her a text last night and said, did she know who Nipsey Hussle was? She said, no. And I said, well, you know, this was one of my favorite rappers and he was murdered yesterday. And I said, you know, I would love to sit down with you and, you know, we could watch some interviews, play some of his music and just talk through, you know, who he was and, you know, why he was my favorite. Because your kids always have those types of questions, like, you know, who were your favorites? What did you like? They want to know their dad's likes and dislikes. Like they want to get to know dad as a person, particularly when they get older. So it's just an opportunity to let them into the personal side of my life and how my brain works and what I enjoy. Traditionally, I go to what they listen to. But I think starting this summer, we're going to venture into, you know, dad's bag and get into some of that stuff. I think it's just these moments, what I've learned to do as a parent is to just normalize things. I try to normalize conversations that many people would consider to be awkward or difficult to have with their kids. Because once you get rid of the stigma, you can really be transparent about whatever point you're trying to get across, or, you know, dig into, you know, whatever thought process they have and to help them process that. So I'm just going to help them process that. She was hurt. Like, oh my God, that's terrible. Are you okay? But like, she wasn't affected the way she was when X died. You know, when X died, she's like in my arms bawling. You know, like that was different. It's amazing this generation. I think I said it on the I said it for our Patreon listeners before the show, but like it's amazing that when X died, a lot of the older people were looking at the kids like, you know, what is this? And now that Nipsey's died, we're looking at a lot of the younger kids look at the older hip hop audience like, yo, like who was this guy? That's a really, really interesting point. Hmm.
So if someone's listening to this and they aren't historically a big Nipsey Hussle fan, let's try to end on something positive maybe.
Yes, please, because this was my guy. This is one of my favorite rappers.
Where should people start?
I would tell them go Victory Lap.
Yeah.
I think Crenshaw is definitive for him because of what that represented, but it's not a perfect project. Victory Lap from front to back is a... It's a perfect representation of Nipsey Hussle, the artist. And I don't even think, and I've seen this before, and we've said this before, we said it particularly about Stack, but like Nipsey was just getting to his apex as an artist. Like I was really interested in seeing what he was going to do next. Cause he was right there. But I would go Victory Lap.
Okay.
If you listen to CRS, you know that was my favorite album last year.
Yeah.
And that album is so good. It's so, so good.
And if they wanted to reach back for just one or two songs off his previous projects, where should they start?
Ooh. I would tell them go to Crenshaw because you got records like Check Me Out. You got The Weather. God. Face the World. Like if you want to hear Hussle rap, he's got a record on, I think that was on Crenshaw, produced by Ninth, called Face the World. That's amazing. There's a record called Blessings. That's amazing. I would tell him to go to Crenshaw after that because the good songs on Crenshaw are really, really, really good. Crenshaw's a little bloated, but you know, slice about six or seven records off and it's really, really good. Mailbox Money is cool. And then some of his SoundCloud Lucy's are really good too. I'm trying to think of, there's one, I can't remember the name of it, but it's really, really dope. Was that on Mailbox Money? That's how I knew. That's how I knew it was fire. Yeah, Nip has records, man. I was thinking about this, I might make a playlist. I think I might make a playlist and share it. Just of like my favorite Nipsey records. Cause yeah, that was my guy. He had joints.
All right, man. Anything else you want to say?
Nah, man. Rest in peace, Nipsey Hussle. And that's just really stupid to say. It's just really whack to say. But I'm grateful for his contribution, musically and just in terms of what he was preparing to do and the things that he already did. Man, just a solid dude, man. Just somebody I really wish that I could have just, whenever I watched, I hate rapper interviews, but like anytime I watched his interviews, I felt like he didn't have his guard up. He was really like sharing wisdom. And I'm not even saying that because he passed and I want to say good things, like legit. Like that was my guy. And this is just really whack and stupid. And it's really unfortunate and unnecessary and avoidable. And now we have people who are dead unnecessarily across the board. Just trash.
All right. I mean, I think that about does it for this week's Clack Radio Speakers, unless you got something else, man.
Nah, just follow me on social media, but we'll post it on Clack Radio Speakers. Actually, when I get off the air, when we shut down this episode, I'm going to make a Nipsey playlist and I'll share it.
All right. Well, thank you everybody for listening to this week's Clack Radio Speakers. I don't know if we're back next week. We'll be back soon. As always, clackradiospeakers.com. Hit us up at CRS Podcast and let us know what you think about this episode. And if you missed the previous episode, but you're intrigued by what we talked about, head over to patreon.com/CRS Podcast.
Yes.
Armand, you got anything you want to plug?
No, I don't. Okay. Please go check out the Patreon because that bracket episode was fire. If you ever want to hear Doc and I just argue about all types of stuff, Like, that was a great episode. A couple of times during the week, I was like, man, we should put that out publicly. But now we gotta support those who support us. It was an amazing episode. And yeah, go to patreon.com/CRS podcast and check it out for sure.